in Firmstone Reel 2. Why was it that it was considered to be the sort of lowest job, the hull gunner? Why was that?
Well, you say the lowest job. It's a job which had to be done, and as the least experienced member of the tank crew, you had been taught at Lulworth as a recruit the preparation and operation of the machine gun, so you could definitely do that. You hadn't been taught wireless, you hadn't been taught to drive a tank, therefore it was obvious that was the position you would go into when you first went onto a tank. And then of course you had to work your way up from there, and that was done on instruction in the battalion. You would be put on a on DLM instruction, and I think there was third, second and first class driving test. Obviously you'd start off on the third one and work your way up, and eventually I did, as I say, in what I considered was a very quick time, pass the first class driver mechanics trade test. By that time I was a driver of the tank.
How long did it take you to get up to that sort of top driving standard?
Well, as I say, about 2 years. 2 years of training. I reckon I got to that standard of a first class driver mechanic trade test. Then, of course, the main thing, of course, about it was that it was the only trade test that you could be paid for in the tank corps at that time. And there was only a certain number in each battalion who could draw the pay, and you then went on as an unpaid driver mechanic until such times as there was room for you to be accepted onto the roll, and then you became paid driver mechanic. And it wasn't until I was actually on a DNM driving and maintenance course at Bovington as a Lance Corporal in 1935 that I got paid. And then very well.
So it would be an aim for most people who went in to get this.
Oh yes,
first class.
Oh, without a doubt, it was everybody's, or mostly everyone's idea to get up there and get that pay, because, as I say, it was the only trade test you could be paid for.
The actual testing is such. What sort of things were you being asked to do?
Well, you had to drive every type of vehicle which was in the battalion: motorcycle, cars, staff cars, light lorries, heavy lorries, all types of tanks, track vehicles, the whole lot. You would do a practical test on stoppages set up on different vehicles by examiners. You'd go along, there'd be a stoppage set up, you'd have to put it right. You would answer questions put to you theoretically. A written examination, and the final test of all was you go into workshops, ordnance workshops as they were then, and carry out a fitter's test, metalwork, on metalwork, where you would chip and file a metal block and drill it and tap it and put a screw in it. Quite some test.
What about actually driving tanks? Would you be tested on that side of it as well, were you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, driving on every vehicle in the battalion. You'd be tested on driving the whole lot. Night driving as well, were given, and driving over... every type of test they could give you, they would give you there.
How long was it before you moved from being the hull gunner to becoming a driver? Was that a long process?
No, that wasn't a long process, because due to drafts going off to India, they had to supply people for India, the strength of the section wasn't complete. For instance, you didn't have a complete membership of crews of all vehicles all the time. And there was quite a chance that if you could quickly learn to drive, which you certainly did, you had the opportunity of driving on Class 3 and Class 2 driving and maintenance tests, you would get the job as a driver.
What tank were you first working with when you...
Medium Mark II, Vickers Medium Mark II tank.
How did you get on with that? Did you find it a difficult one when you became a driver, was it?
Not at all, no. Not difficult. Any more difficult than any other type of vehicle.
What sort of mechanical problems can you recall that you had? Were there any particular ones?
Well, not really. The steering used huge brake bands on the steering, and if you did quite a lot of driving on the medium tank, it meant that you were changing those pretty frequently, the driving bands. They were quite a tricky job to change. Most of the heavy maintenance was done in workshops. The vehicle used to go into ordnance workshops and be overhauled and maintained. And a lot of the mechanical breakdown was put right by fitters. In each company, you had your company fitters, be a mechanist sergeant major, a mechanist sergeant or staff sergeant, and a corporal, and a couple of privates as fitters. They were a different section on their own, and they would come along and any maintenance job like stripping the carburetor and replacing it, or any mechanical job, they would take on, and the driver would assist them on all occasions.
When you joined the 3rd Battalion, did you stay with one particular tank crew all the time?
They more or less endeavoured to keep you in the same crews once it was formed. As I say, due to the lack of numbers in the section, you were quite likely to be moved from one tank to another, or from the 3rd Battalion to the depot, for some reason or other, as I was later on posted for a 2-year tour as an instructor.
But in terms of the actual crew, you all worked together and stayed together?
Oh, yes. Yes, you worked together and stayed together. You all lived in one... The whole section lived in two barrack rooms. And once you were in a crew, then you stayed in that crew, unless you were, for instance, a crew was short of a driver, and they thought that you would be the one to put on that job. You'd be moved from one tank crew to another and posted that way, or placed in that job.
Did you become particularly sort of attached to a tank, you know, looking after it and
Well, of course, obviously, once you got your tank, especially the driver of the tank, you try to maintain that and keep it on the road all the time. It was your ambition that it should never be off the road if you could possibly avoid it. But of course, you couldn't avoid mechanical breakdowns, but you hope that when it did break down, it wasn't through the fault of you or the members of the crew.
What was your kind of daily routine, you know, taking the tanks out in exercises and training?
Well, when you were back with the battalion, you didn't do a lot of training. If you were the tank driver and you weren't on a course of any description, like a third or a second or a first class driving and maintenance course, or a gunnery course, which you could be on, you would be doing maintenance on the tanks, cleaning them and maintaining them. And when the classes who were on instruction required a tank for driving instruction, yours would probably be the tank taken out, and they'd be driving your tank on driving instruction. Consequently, it had to be maintained all the time. So probably someone always on driving instruction. Your vehicle would be on driving instruction back at the battalion. Now, this kind of instruction would go on until such times that you moved to Lulworth for the annual firing for a period of about a month. And then from Lulworth, you would move on to the plain, Salisbury Plain, for manoeuvres. Then, of course, you are completely on the go all the time then on manoeuvres, applying yourself to whatever job you had on the tank.
Did you get any sort of tactical training or that kind?
Nothing apart probably from map reading. Map reading was dealt with in great detail. And very, very little tactics were taught back at the battalion, especially to the ordinary crew members. Whether they were to tank commanders or not, I wouldn't know. I wasn't a tank commander in that spell at the 3rd Battalion.
When you went on exercises, you mentioned Salisbury Plain, do you remember doing exercises, what you were doing?
Well, you'd start off when you first got on the plane and do what they call section driving. You go out on it with your section, and then you do company exercises. That is, the three sections would go out, two medium sections and a light section. And then you do battalion manoeuvres, when all the companies would be going out under the battalion commander. And then eventually that worked up to brigade manoeuvres, when all the battalions who were under canvas, or through the three battalions, would be operating together or opposing each other on brigade exercises. And prior to these exercises taking place, the section commander would discuss it with you before and afterwards. And the same when it was battalion exercises, the battalion commander would give a general discussion about it, or the section commander would bring back the information from the commanding officer and tell you what was happening. And when it was brigade manoeuvres, I mean before a brigade exercise, the whole brigade would be got together and the brigadier would address the whole brigade with regards to what exercise was taking place. And after it, you'd be got together again and told exactly what he thought of you, whether you'd done it well or not.
Do you remember any of those at all?
I remember them, but I don't remember them in detail. But I do remember we used to collect together on the side of the hill at Salisbury Plain and listen to these lectures or discussions by the brigadier.
Do you remember what the sort of aim was of these exercises, what they was trying to drive at?
Movement of the tanks from one place to another and engaging the enemy from strategic positions and such like. As a driver, I mean, you'd be more concerned in the driving the vehicle to get the best cover with the assistance of the commander, speaking to you and telling you which way to go. But the general scheme, you were told about it, but it never really impressed you a great deal. As the driver or as the whole gunner, I presume, had I been a commander, then I would have got more information out of it and probably paid a little more interest in it.
You mean you were enclosed inside, were you?
Well, most of the lecture didn't apply to the particular job I was doing. And probably that's why I don't remember a lot about it. But as I say, if I'd have been a commander of a tank, then I would have been more involved, and I would probably remember much more about these lectures before and after exercises.
So your tank commander wouldn't come back to you when these lectures are over and say, well, this is what we're going to do? And
undoubtedly, he did. He used to do that quite a lot. And very often, the section commander, if you were the section commander's driver, as I was, even during halts, when we used to halt every hour for 10 minutes or 5 minutes to inspect the vehicle, he would talk to you about the exercises going on and tell you what's happening and point out where different tanks were and different sections were.
Do you remember who was commanding these exercises? Do you remember much about who was...
Well, what do you mean in regard to battalion commanders? Or
the actual brigadier, the person in charge.
There was only one brigadier that I was aware of, down the Brigadier Hobart. He was the brigade commander at that time.
Did you have any dealings with him at all? Had you seen him at all?
We always used to. He was liable to turn up anywhere at any time, Brigadier Hobart. I mean, we were driving along in the column, and his staff car would come along and park in between two vehicles and drive along for a long, long time, probably stay in the column, and then he'd zoom away somewhere. Several occasions I've seen him when I've been on sentry go, on guard in the mornings. We used to do guard overnight in the vehicle park. And lo and behold, come trotting along, the brigadier had been out for his morning run. That was before we dismounted in the morning. We used to dismount guard at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he'd already been out for his exercise run by that time. Another occasion he pulled into the column, and the unfortunate fitter sergeant who'd been working overnight on a vehicle had fallen asleep in the back of the lorry. He was on a sack in the back of the lorry. And when the column halted, the brigadier went along, waking him up, and tore him off a strip for being asleep and made him take over the commander's position in the tank and take the column to its destination. As I say, he would turn up anywhere at any time.
Didn't he arrive by helicopter sometimes as well?
Oh, that was when I was at Lulworth. As an instructor, I was on the firing point, and he landed just behind the firing point with the helicopter, dismounted, came over, asked who we were, what we were doing, what was going on, turned around, hopped back in his helicopter, and away.
So, particularly on these exercises, he was a figure that you remembered quite clearly as...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think that every member of the brigade knew him. I don't think there was any man in the brigade who didn't know him. He made himself well and truly known to everybody.
And did any of the sort of ideas he had about use of tanks, did they come through sort of to you?
Well, as I pointed out at that time, I was a driver of a tank. And I wasn't involved in the command of a vehicle and in the manoeuvre of vehicles. Therefore, I don't think a lot of what was said really sank in. At least I didn't take as much notice of it as I probably would have done had I been a tank commander at that time. But I wasn't.
While you were at the 3rd Battalion, they had a change of equipment. You had light tanks later.
Yes.
How did you get on with those when they came?
Well, I was, again, very fortunate with the light tank part of it. I, at that time, had been transferred to the light section and was the section commander's driver. And as each of these new light tanks came along, obviously he took them over as his tank and I had to drive them. So I was given the opportunity of driving every new tank which came along. The Mark 1, the Mark 1A, the Mark 2, the Mark 2B, and so on. I can't remember all the types that came along, but I know there were quite a number. And each time a new one came along, section commander would take it over, and consequently I'd be able to drive it.
How did you get on with them? How did you find them?
Well, just the same as all the other vehicles. Once you'd got used to driving them, I mean, it didn't take long, they became very familiar with them and what you call a piece of cake to drive. Like driving any car. They had their own peculiarities. The light tank, for instance, you could get reverse steering on that one. And you could become proficient enough driving to actually use the reverse steering to steer the vehicle on the road. What happened was, if your engine was pulling the tank, then you would steer to the right with the right hand stick to go to the right and the left hand stick to go to the left. But if the tank started to overrun the engine, that is, you'd taken your foot off the throttle and the engine was slowing down and the tank was overrunning the engine, you'd use the left hand stick to go to the right and the right hand stick to go to the left. And, of course, what you had to be very careful of was that when you were steering to the right and driving the vehicle, not to take your foot off the accelerator, because if you decided to reduce it, you'd get reverse steering due to the type of steering you had on the vehicle.
So this was a big problem, well, a problem
well,
you've first had.
It was a problem which wasn't apparent on other vehicles. It was just apparent on the light tank. And you had to become proficient. And, of course, the drivers did become proficient at using them. There were very, very few accidents that I know of with them.
Of the various types of light tank, was there any particular one you remember that was a good one, that you know you were happiest with?
Well, from a driving point of view, they were all very good. All very good indeed. They were all on similar standards. I don't remember any particular one which was better than the other. When you say they moved up in different marks, it was probably a different engine that was being used on one or a slightly different steering assembly. Any little alteration on the vehicle would cause it to become another mark. Have a two-gun turret instead of one-gun turret. That would be a different mark, but the driving of it would be identical. And the driving didn't alter very much from one type to another.
When you got the light tanks, didn't it mean that you'd have to be trained in a different type of role?
Well, again, the commander would, But not the driver. I mean, the driving was there. You were told where to go. You were told to speed up or to slow down or to go right or to go left or as it was. Therefore, it didn't affect you a great deal. All the difference was the different type of vehicle you were driving.
So you don't remember any specific sort of different things you were doing with the light tanks you weren't doing with the mediums?
Oh, well, you could get along faster with a light tank than you could with a medium. The role of the light tank, as it was to go ahead and search out, find the way for the medium tanks. But again, as the driver, it didn't make all that much impression on you, you know, to remember the roles and the different things that you did. Once again, had I been a commander, then I would have probably remembered more about it.
You had worked prior to that in Carden Lloyd, hadn't you?
Well, the 3rd Battalion, their light sections were equipped with Carden Lloyd tanks, in lieu of light tanks, because there was no other light tank in existence. And then eventually these improved light tanks, as light tanks did come along, and they gradually replaced the Carden Lloyds over a space of 2 or 3 years. In fact, they were so long in coming that one section took over some 15 other weight trucks and used them in lieu of light tanks on manoeuvres, because the Carden Lloyds weren't being further repaired and put on the road, and the light tanks weren't available.
What were they like to drive, those Carden Lloyds?
Well, they were different altogether than any other type of vehicle. They were no cushioned seats, metal all the way around, and a T-model Ford engine, and foot pedal, gear changing, and tiller bar steering. So we had a terrific combination of juggling to get them along, but quite fun to learn to drive. But after a day bouncing about in them on the plane,